Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And this is going to be quite a rambunctious little ride for sure. We're going to start off with some of the women that have been overlooked of recent days simply because of the big fight that happened between Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. And I didn't mean to overlook them, but I want to make sure that everyone's aware that although I was talking pretty well exclusively about that particular fight the other day, I wanted to make sure you guys were aware there are still other fights going on around the world, including women in the ring. So let's have a look here. We got Croatian boxer Ivana Habazin. She overcame Hungarian Kinga Magyar to win the WBA interim 147-pound belt, and that took place over in Croatia. A great fight indeed by all accounts. Habazin, by the way, has 22 victories, among which she has 7 knockouts and only 5 defeats, so establishing herself. Other young ladies establishing themselves on the weekend. The Panamanian Natalie Delgado defeated Venezuelan Johanna Zuniga and won the Fedolatin Super Flyweight belt of the WBA, and that took place in a fight in Guyana, Georgetown, Guyana. There you go. Delgado is ranked number 12 in the WBA world rankings, 115 pounds, where the Argentinian Clara Lescarut, with whom the Panamanian has already fought in March 2022, reigns supreme. So there's a few names for you to keep in mind. Other names to keep in mind, down in Argentina, we saw Agustina Marisa Belen Rojas. Had a 4-round majority draw with Maracana Salome Zaliga. Final judges' scores were 38-38, 38-38, and 39-37. Over in Belmont, North Australia. Oh, here's a good one for me. Millicent Agbogbanbulun, out of Australia, but originally from Nigeria, won an 8-round split decision over Jessica Messina, fighting out of New South Wales. The two were fighting for the vacant Australian welterweight title, and Millicent is now 4-1, and Jessica is now 4-1 as well. Taking place in Spain, Tania Alvarez of Barcelona won a 10-round unanimous decision over Maria Cecchi out of Italy. The two were fighting for the vacant EBU European Super Bantamweight belt. Final judges' scores were 94-96 on all cards. Tanya is now 11-1, and Cecchi is now 10-3. So those were some recaps of some fights that took place recently after we'd reported on Ellie Scott's victory, as well as Rihanna Dixon, fights that took place in Manchester a few weeks ago. Now, I haven't mentioned the Olympics in a while, but it's popped up on my screen that a young lady by the name of Nikhat Zareen out of India is following in the footsteps of one of India's most famous female boxers. That would be Mary Kom. Mary Kom, as you know, often competed in the Olympics for quite a while. She's a 6-time world champ and has been the face of women's boxing in India, and even inspired a Bollywood biopic in 2014. Quite a famous young lady. But now we have a new name out of India, good boxer, Nikhat Zareen. And Zareen is being actually coached by a Cuban, Blas Iglesias Fernandez. And he had this to say, this is not Nikhat's time to prove herself. It's true that she had lived in the shadows of Mary Kom, but now it's her chance to prove herself and make India proud. So she's off to the Paris Olympics, where she hopes to obviously win some medals there. Speaking of Australia, I mentioned earlier, prior to India, let's see, Nikita Tsayu is taking on Danilo Criati in his first defense. That's taking place in an upcoming day or two. The younger of the Tsayu brothers will take to the ring in his first defense of the Australian super welterweight title that he had won in his previous fight against, at that time, undefeated Aussie Dylan Briggs. This was also proved to be his first time headlining a card, and one that's rather stacked, apparently, with international level competition. So let's have a look down this particular lengthy article. On this particular card, we got Sayu and Crianti. They're fighting, as I said, for the super welterweight title. Then we've got Jerome Pampiglione versus Malik Zinad. They're fighting for the IBF World Light Heavyweight Eliminator to over 12 rounds. The previously mentioned Clara Lescarut is fighting Lynn Sandstrom. Lescarut's WBA World Super Flyweight title is on the line, and they'll be fighting 10 two-minute rounds. Cesar Mateo Tapia going toe-to-toe against Kyber Gonzalez for the WBA Latina middleweight title, over 10 rounds as well. Benjamin Hussein, toe-to-toe against Mason Smith for the WBA Oceana super welterweight title, 10 rounds. Jasmine Parr going up against Sarah Watt for the women's super flyweight, over 6 rounds. Charlie Cassie going toe-to-toe against Joe Cara, a lightweight battle, 5 rounds. Chanel Dargan over taking on Christine Gillespie, a super bantamweight fight, 6 rounds. And Andrei Mikhailovich taking on Leslie Sherrington, an agreed catch weight over 6 rounds. So quite a few women on that particular card. Fantastic to see a big fight taking place down in Australia with a lot of titles on the line. As I had mentioned, Lescarut, the WBA World Super Flyweight Champ, will defend her. The Australian native with an 8-2-2 record, Lynn Sandstrom. So two highly capable fighters, and should be one of the more engaging fights on the card without a doubt. Alrighty, let's move over to England, where we're going to see what we call an all-British showdown. Chris Billam-Smith going up against Richard Riakpor. They're all set to meet over at Crystal Palace FC, live on Sky Sports at Selhurst Park, for those who don't know, June 15th. Defending champ Billam-Smith, 19-1, by the way, will be looking to avenge his only career defeat when he makes his second defense of his WBO title against big-punching South Londoner and Palace fan Riakpor. 17-0, 13 knockouts. If anyone can tell me how to pronounce Riakpor, I think I've got it right. But anyway, Billam-Smith, he's known as the gentleman, captured the WBO crown in May of 2023 with a memorable win over former stablemate Lawrence Okolie, downing the undefeated champion 3 times, en route to having his hand raised in front of his home fans at Vitality Stadium in Bournemouth. So a good clash upcoming for British fans. Let's fly back across the Atlantic. Let's talk about Terence Bud Crawford for a while. He's set to move up to 154 and face WBA title holder Israel Makhachev on Saturday, August 3rd. I reported on this the other day. That's to take place at the BMO Stadium in Los Angeles. And today, ESPN reports that there are 3 fights set or near set for the pay-per-view undercard. And it looks like we've got Isaac Pitbull Cruz back in the ring. He's going to face Jose Valenzuela. Wow. Couple of heavyweights. Heavyweights. Andy Ruiz Jr. versus Jarrell Miller. And Leo Santa Cruz versus Abner Maraz III. Let's go back to Cruz for a sec here. Cruz has just won the WBA super lightweight title by destroying, unless you are Judge Chris Flores, Rolly Romero on March 30th. Valenzuela, 13-2, is coming off a knockout win over Chris Colbert in their rematch last December, following a controversial loss to Colbert in March 2023. The 24-year-old Valenzuela has been competing as a lightweight, but Cruz, 25, is really a lightweight too. Ruiz, 35-2, 22 knockouts, hasn't fought since his win over Luis Ortiz in September 2022, and has fought just 2 times since his embarrassing rematch performance in defeat to Anthony Joshua at the end of 2019. So now 34 years of age, Ruiz is still in what should be his prime as a heavyweight contender. If he's still been watching the money flying around that division with Saudi backing late, he really should want to get back in the mix. The 35-year-old Miller is coming off his first pro loss, 26-1-1. He was stopped in the 10th round by Daniel Dubois in Riyadh last December. Neither he nor Ruiz are known for their discipline or dedication. Yes, true. Miller was arrested in early January back in Florida, if you remember. Rodriguez notes that this fight has yet to be confirmed, but it's close enough to reality that he's included in his story. And the last fight will also raise some eyebrows. Santa Cruz and Marius are 35 and 38, respectively, and have not been active of late. Santa Cruz, 38-2-1, hasn't fought since early 2022. And the last time he faced a serious opponent was October 2020, his knockout loss to Javonta Tank Davis. Marius, for his part, 31-3-2, has fought just once since his rematch loss to Santa Cruz in 2018, and that was a 2022 draw against Miguel Flores. Wow. So some hella interesting news on that heavyweight side of things. I just wanted to say, I'm just reading what was stated in boxing247.com. This is Ruiz and Miller. Who wins this one? On one hand, former heavyweight champ Ruiz has not fought in what seems like an age, actually a month shy of 2 years, come that Miller fight. While on the other hand, convicted drugs cheat Miller is coming off a stoppage loss against Daniel Dubois, a fight in which Miller tipped in at a hefty 333 pounds. Ruiz has also come close to breaking the scale when weighing in for a fight, with the Mexican-American coming in at over 280 pounds for his return fight with Anthony Joshua. So it promises to be a combined weight of something in the range of 550 pounds when Ruiz and Miller climb into the ring. Wow. It's hoped both men are training, or at least will train for this fight, and properly. Ruiz, when he's on fire, has arguably got the fastest pair of hands in the heavyweight division. Really, Ruiz, the younger man by a year at the age of 34, and also the more talented boxer of the two, should win the fight, perhaps with relative ease, if he's in shape and sufficiently motivated. And we'll get to that whole point of motivation in a second, because it will involve Turki Al-Sheikh, who reportedly wants to make Terence Crawford and Ennis, Boots Ennis, happen. The news reports, these news reports follow on the footsteps of the announcement that Crawford will box Israel Imadjimov in Las Vegas on August 3rd. But the Saudis are reportedly working behind the scenes on the event, with Matt Troom's Eddie Hearn in the mix here as a promoter. And that could set up the narrative for a long-term relationship between the Saudis and Crawford, who, as we know, wants to move up, or should be able to move up in weight. Imadjimov, he's the WBA junior middleweight champ, remains undefeated with a 10-0-1 record, 7 of those wins by stoppages. While Imadjimov has an extensive amateur record, but while it's a case of whether Crawford wants to face a younger Ennis, or not, remains to be seen. Giron is 26, while Crawford is 36, making it a big risk since Crawford has nothing else to prove and there's no need to push for that bout. Al-Sheikh also reportedly wants Crawford to box Canelo Alvarez, but expressed his wish to move up 3 weight classes to fight for Canelo's undisputed super middleweight title, but Canelo dismissed that fight, saying he gets no credit for beating a welterweight. However, it could be considered a compromise to the David Benavidez fight. Canelo has been accused of ducking his WBC interim super middleweight mandatory. Let's see what Canelo said here. You know, he brings nothing to the table for me. He just brings 25 more pounds in the night of the fight. But if some promoter, not him, because he's nothing to offer me, but if one promoter I could work with, Kevin Bean, said, I offer you 150, 200 million, I'll take that fight tomorrow. That's the only reason I'd fight him. Said Benavidez, by the way, Canelo, if I have nothing to offer, then why are you demanding that you get 150, 200 million to fight someone who isn't worth anything? Hopefully, after you make that 150 million, you have enough left over to buy a... What? Wait a sec. Great quote here. Hopefully, after you make that 150 million, you have enough left over to buy a pair of nuts. David Benavidez, chalk one up for him. All right. But I was talking about Crawford. So if Crawford beats Imadjimov, a Canelo fight looks more likely than Ennis. It would be hard to see Bud move down to 147 to face Ennis, where he could box Canelo for a bigger payday. That also falls reports that the Saudis don't want Alvarez to face Benavidez anyway. The kingdom allegedly wants Benavidez to face the winner of Arbidabiev and Dmitry Bivol, which I reported on a couple of weeks back. Those two fighters box on June 1st for the undisputed light heavyweight championship, which we're all looking forward to. Benavidez is preparing to fight Alexander Zvonarev for the WBC interim light heavyweight belt on June 15th. A win makes it mandatory for Undisputed at 175, ruling out a Canelo fight. So if Saudi Arabia does put on those fights, it only reinforces the idea that it's becoming the new mecca of boxing. While there are worries it will damage grassroots boxing in the US and UK, fans are seeing the biggest fights happen. So, money talks, bullshit walks. Now, speaking of Eddie Hearn, Hearn has revealed details about the conversations he's had between him and Haney's camp following the Devin Haney's fight against Ryan Garcia, which I mentioned at the outset of the show, in regards to a fight day weigh-in to assess how much Garcia had rehydrated. This is all Eddie Hearn saying this. From our side, from Matchroom side, we felt there should have been a re-weigh-in on Saturday. It was chosen not to be pushed, and I feel that was a mistake. But I also understand that Devin rehydrates to massive numbers. But it's got nothing to do with Devin. I've seen it happen in that situation. I've been there 50 times on both sides of the street there where someone misses weight. You can always get the fighter to rehydrate on a Saturday a lot of time, but they don't want to do it, of course. But it's how far you can push them. Now, maybe Ryan Garcia was the type of guy who would have walked away and gone, okay, don't worry about it. I won't fight. And I'm sure that was a concern for Bill Haney. Bill wanted the fight. Everybody thought they could win the fight regardless of the weight. Of course, the financial penalty was there, but Bill also thought Devin rehydrates to massive numbers. We don't really want to weigh in either, but you shouldn't have to because Ryan's the guy that missed the weight. Hindsight's a great thing. If they'd have pushed the Saturday weigh-in, there's a good chance that the fight wouldn't have taken place. And obviously, Bill didn't want that, and Devin didn't want that. But obviously, on the night, it's a massive advantage. It's like you're fighting a middleweight in there. And I'd love to know what Ryan weighed in as he walked to the ring that night, excluding the weight of his diamond-encrusted crown. Since the fight, Garcia suggested he might well move up again, while Haney is keen to have a rematch with both men at the correct championship weight. So I want to end this particular episode by giving you boxing fans a glimmer inside the money that Garcia had on the line, okay? Because there are several things to report. I will tell you this is coming from The Sun over in the UK. Take it with a grain of salt, but here we go. Fans are in awe of Ryan Garcia after the boxer backed himself to beat Devin Haney with an outrageous bet. Garcia put on the performance of his life to beat Haney via majority decision, knocking the world champion to the canvas three times. Okay, that we know. And while he will not take his belt because he weighed in at 1.5 kilograms too heavy, 3 pounds roughly, Garcia will still be very satisfied with his night's work. That is because he has pocketed millions of pounds / dollars from a bet he made on himself to beat Haney. Reports claim he cashed 12 million or roughly 9.5 million pounds from a $2 million bet he placed on himself. And on top of the earnings for the clash, Garcia reckons he has made around $50 million in one night's work. He wrote on Instagram, "If you bet, bet on yourself. On top of what we made, eating good. About $50 million, $40 million, probably more in one night, not too shabby." Wow. After Garcia, by the way, missed weight, he made good on his promise to Haney by paying up $500,000 per pound he was overweight. So Haney made a bit of cash, but looks like Garcia robbed the bank. All right, good for him. Not so good for boxing, if you ask me. But anyway, who's asking me? Remember, like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, please. And we'll see you again on talkandfight.com for more news from around the world in the sport of boxing. Thank you.